This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David L. and David
Edwards. There we go.
Lovely to have you on board, David.
Thank you. It's lovely to be aboard HMS Cinema.
Yes, sailing through the choppy waters, it seems, in your mind.
Yeah.
The
choppy waters of the silver screen. There's highs and there's lows.
Well, there's mainly lows, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess it depends, really. You've got some interesting stuff coming out in January, because that's kind of Oscar season. So lots of stuff like The Holdovers, the new Alexander Payne film. You've got Napoleon in November. I mean, the irony is the most exciting film, I'd say, this year for me would be The Killer, the new David Fincher film, but that's going straight to Netflix. So I'd love to have seen that in the cinema.
You're going to give Napoleon 3.5 and say it was too long.
You are a future teller. Having said that, though, you know, Oppenheimer, I had a few issues with the third act because I thought once the bomb went off, it kind of lost its dramatic energy. But, you know, it didn't feel sluggish time wise. Do you know what I mean?
So I thought he said it did.
The third hour kind of dragged, but that was more kind of the third indeed. Absolutely. Yeah.
The third hour kind of dragged
a bit. But the first two...
But the fourth one zipped along.
Zipped along, no problem at all with that. Do you know what I mean? Just a nice little sprint, no issue there. But yeah, the third hour, I felt as though it changed plot gear. And now, as I'm saying this, I'm completely contradicting myself. But the first 2 hours just went like no man's land. I guess it's a case of, you know, if it keeps you occupied and interested, you can go for those hours in no time.
I have to pick you up on the first 2 hours went like no man's land.
I don't quite know what that means, no man's land. Dear God. No man's land, that's no direction. You're just wandering around surrounded by grenades and gas. That's not an enjoyable experience.
So you went to the cinema last night. Again, I get so excited. I love that you do this every week, though. How many people do this every week and then pop on a podcast? How many people go and watch the latest movie?
Well, quite a few. There's a lot of competition out there, isn't there, on the old podcast front?
I like that 12 hours ago you were watching a film.
Absolutely, staring up at the silver screen.
What did you go and watch?
The one I saw last night is not the one I'm reviewing, but it's Five Nights at Freddy's, which was a horror film.
I'm thrown.
I saw one on Tuesday to make sure I was ready to review it because it's quite an indie, low budget movie. And Cineworld were doing a special screening of it, and it doesn't mean they'll show it again later in the week. Because they're more sort of mainstream, you know, focus as a multiplex. And it was Cat Person. And it was a big at Sundance Film Festival. So it's one of those low-budget indie films. So it's more what you get in an art cinema, really. So as soon as
completely
I saw it
empty
around,
in there?
I would say Yeah, I would say maybe it was a large auditorium, and I'd say about 20 people in there.
And this is a Tuesday night?
Yes. So that's not bad, actually, for a Tuesday night when you think about it. And it was a special screening. A lot of people sat on their own type of thing. You get that in the special screens and dedicated cineasts.
Did you go with Ryan on the Tuesday night?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to know how different a Tuesday night viewing, as in food, noise, the audience, how different from a Friday night is it?
I think our psychology was different. Like, we had to sort of only have like a brief hot chocolate afterwards and then head back.
Very sensible on a Tuesday. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'd say...
So you didn't eat then?
Oh, yes. I had something to eat. I had a good old-fashioned McDonald's.
Wunderbar.
Absolutely. Wunderbar. That would be a great name for an actual restaurant.
Did you sneak it in the cinema?
I took in the apple pie and... So crunching away on that, and a this was a particularly nice one. It's apple and toffee. Absolute dream come true.
Yeah.
And they accidentally put a donut in there as well.
What, in your bag?
I don't know if I paid for it unknowingly or because the machine was all over the place, you know, because you do your own autopilot, you do it yourself.
What, in McDonald's?
Yeah, they don't serve you over the counter now. You've got to do it on like a touch screen. Absolutely.
Is that since COVID?
I think it was around just before COVID. I think it's more of an economics thing than a virus element.
Well, it's like Argos.
They'll give it to you over the counter, but you don't pay for it over the counter anymore.
Oh.
I think they have a till just in case. But so I don't know if it was me who accidentally did the donut. It was free of charge, but it was a lovely surprise to come across.
Jess Cordell says, what's David's go-to Mackie D's order? That was going to be mine next, because mine's really bland. What's your Mackie D order?
Mine is, if I'm going to really, really go for it, well, first of all, their nuggets special offer is just nuts. It's like... I can't remember the exact amount. It's like £4.85 for 20 nuggets. And then if you pay like £4.60 or whatever, it sounds like I'm sponsored by the clown now, McDonald's. But God, that was a while ago. It's not a clown anymore, is it? For crying out loud.
That's a dog, isn't it?
Oh, is it a dog? God, no. Very millennial.
No, I don't know.
It's about, I think, £6, and then you get like 10. So I don't know. There's a lot of chickens hanging around that are happy to have their heads cut off.
Oh, flipping hell. Those poor chickens.
I know, it's horrific, isn't it? But yes. However,
very, very tasty.
Oh, absolutely. If you've got the right dip.
So you go chicken. I wouldn't consider doing chicken. Don't know why. I've told you I've never done a Kentucky Fried Chicken before. Never been in there.
I quite like Kentucky Fried Chicken because sometimes I go into McDonald's and I don't know what it is about McDonald's, but so much of the time they don't have all the food. Like, they're always having to clean the McFlurry machine, so there's no McFlurries. There's hardly any milkshakes. You know, you're lucky if you get one. It's like a lottery. So I've gone to KFC quite a few times and I love a Zinger Burger. And the name...
What's a Zinger Burger?
A Zinger Burger is... I'm trying to think how to explain it, but it's got a real zing, chilly, hot taste to it.
So too.
Absolutely. If not, you get in contact with the market people, wouldn't you? It's illegal.
Yeah.
There's no zing in this burger. I want my money back. Let's sue KFC.
Is it one burger or a couple of burgers?
I think it's... I think you can get a Zinger Tower. So now, more than one burger, that's officially a tower, not merely a burger treat.
Right, a Zinger Burger. But you got nuggets last night.
I didn't actually last night get nuggets. That's one that would be my usual go-to. Instead, I got the Philly... Oh, God, the McPhilly cheese, because I usually always go for one of their new limited editions. And it's very...
You try things, don't you?
Oh,
I feel like you try things. I do the same.
I tip my toe into the food
river. McPhilly cheesesteak?
Absolutely, yes. And I liked it, but then again, you know, I think it would be similar to when I introduced you to my brand of coffee and you were quite repelled by it, which is understandable because it's basically coffee for kids. Because there's like a large portion of sort of liquidated cheese on the top steak. So you get two nice...
I'm absolutely loving this.
Oh, maybe you go for it then, pal. Get it ordered. Oh. Get old delivery around your pad.
See, I just go for a cheeseburger.
No, this is a quite a different experience.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was very impressed by it. It's very, very, very nice. And their apple toffee... pie is incredible. It really is.
Is it
very small though? Not hot. Big enough. Way too hot. That's why I left it for the cinema.
Right.
But I was tempted to take it into the cinema with me. But first of all, it's not nice for the others, the other Patreons around you in the cinema auditorium. But secondly, I'd have just been covered in cheese on the way out. Do you know what I mean? I have
Toodlebug, Toodlebug says here, ah, the milkshake issue. I know it well.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's a case of, well, it's just, I don't think I ever get a milkshake there. To the extent that I did emigrate to KFC on the other side of the industrial car park. I was like, au revoir, Golden Arches. You're just not keeping up to your
really,
expectations.
You left in a strop. I like the idea.
Yeah, I think only Ryan noticed it sort of thing. But, you know, I tried to make some kind of scene. But I think this is just ridiculous. You come to it every time and all the McFlurries are greyed out. Because it's annoying because they've got a new M&M McFlurry. What is it? M&M and honey or something.
Flip.
And it is a case of... I don't know what it is because I wasn't able to try it.
Is this episode sponsored by McDonald's, says Daniel?
Absolutely. I find McDonald's, the idea of it excites me, but it stresses me out. The restaurants are just so intense. And, I mean, to work at McDonald's, I think it would be less stressful to be a Navy SEAL for the American Army, what they have to do. But linking to your point about it being like a dessert and a main meal, apparently the burgers are almost desserts because there's so much sugar in the bun. There's so much white sugar in the bun. But I know what you mean about having a, I usually have a banana milkshake and a burger, and it is almost like having ice cream. I've never actually thought about it like that. You're basically having ice cream and meat.
Sal Willis says, the way David talks about food is so utterly tantalising.
Goodness me. What
you I'm people- like that as well, Sal. That's why I constantly ask. I'm just... I love it, David.
100%. Dissect the McDonald's. Well, I'll tell you one that's opened up that's really... Wendy's is now in Britain. God, I'm thinking we need to focus on the films.
Yeah,
thing,
we do. Sorry,
no, I'm
okay,
more than
yeah.
happy to...
No. But Wendy's... some people want to know the... Yeah, go on, Wendy's. Go on, bit of Wendy's. Go on. What is Wendy's?
Wendy's is the big American takeaway franchise. And so it's like a McDonald's in America, but we've only recently got it. And I just want to explore it. I just want to take my taste buds like a large Hoover and just start sucking
honestly,
up.
Honestly, it really pisses me off we're not doing a food pod.
God, if it takes the roof off the podcast world, sign me up, Captain. I'm all about taking roofs off. I'm a podcast hurricane.
I'm going to say one thing, and I just want to see your reaction to it. Wimpy Brown Derby.
Do you know, there is a Wimpy in Littlehampton. And I was with my my family, and I couldn't quite get them in there. Do you know what I mean? They voted against me, annoyingly, and it was Nostalgia City. And there was a Brown Derby, as you say. And it was just, I don't understand why it still exists. It was like something out of the Twilight Zone. And it was all there. And it was just like such a nostalgia pill. There was like desserts and food that they haven't changed since the 80s. And you still eat it off a china plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was just insane and bizarre. There's still one in Littlehampton. I think there's still one dotted around. And all that retro stuff, like the Brown Derby and stuff like that. And also, what did they do with their ice cream? They put a dollop on their ice cream.
It would be a warm donut.
Yes.
And then it would be ice cream on top and it would just melt.
Yeah, that was
the
there.
And then just be a puddle of ice cream.
Oh God, absolutely. Nirvana. I really tried to push all my domestic credits with that. I was like, no, we're going to the Wimpy. And I was completely voted out. Once again,
Sam Paul says, she says here, random foodie generator. That's lovely. That's really lovely.
God, a franchise, for crying out loud.
Okay, David. So, cat person.
Absolutely. Yeah, cat person. Big Sundance Film Festival indie film.
Like, it's a really small budget.
Yeah, very small budget. Good cast, though. It's got the actress who was in Coda, that film that won Best Oscar 2 years ago. I should remember her name. I apologise. So she stars in it. I'll see if I can find her name. And also, the guy who plays Greg in Succession is also in it. So it's got a good cast, but it definitely is... low budget, so I'm just finding their actual names here, because the cast is very good. And ultimately what it's about is there's a girl, she's 20, she's at college / university in America, and it's very much a case, these are the actual names. So it's Emily Jones plays the main character and Nicholas Braun, and it starts up as a type of quite awkward style comedy, romantic comedy ultimately, and then it evolves into a psychological thriller. It's a real genre bender. So she works at a cinema behind a kiosk, and she's currently at university, and he turns up, and he's about 33, mid-30s, an older chap, and they start flirting and kind of getting on, and he's very awkward and odd and very, very nerdy and quite nervous around the ladies. And he's a real film fan. He's always turning up at the cinema she works at. And he's like a massive, like, Harrison Ford fan. And he's always...
Are you taking the piss?
No, it was a bit bizarre. And it's not really a character you'd aspire to, really. But there was a few traits that were quite similar. He's got an amazing Indiana Jones jacket that he wears.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hang on a minute.
And that's a bit biographical.
I feel like you're taking the piss out of me here.
No, it is a bit odd, yeah. But I'd hopefully there's a line to this, because he's an odd bloke. So I was sat in the cinema thinking, God almighty, I hope this isn't too biographical.
Well, so he goes to the cinema a lot and he wears a hat.
He goes to the cinema a lot. He's in his mid-30s and a bachelor, and he's obsessed by Harrison Ford. And even before I knew the Harrison Ford connection, I leant over to Ryan and I said to him, I'm just going to have to get one of those jackets. I didn't even know it was an Indiana Jones jacket at that point. And I do
need
to.
And then 10 minutes later, he's murdering everyone.
Well, no spoilers type of thing. But
okay.
But I'm not saying if he does or he doesn't.
No. Yeah.
But the whole element of the film is...
Is it creepy?
Very, very creepy, because you don't know if he's just awkward. Basically...
I like the sound of this, David.
Yes, you would like the idea of it. And also, it's very clever in the sense that it doesn't just see everything from a feminist point of view. There is a conversation. There are times where you feel that he's quite vulnerable, or you feel sorry for him, and maybe she's too paranoid towards him. Because you basically don't know, is he just an awkward, nerdy guy that's struggling to navigate life, or is he a genuine psycho that means her harm? Because at one point she actually says, I don't want to go any further with this, because her first night with him is very cumbersome, you know, first night of love, intercourse, whatever you want to call it, if you're a scientist or a love guru.
And fuck sesh.
Absolutely, yes, that's the best way to call it. Just like a hot knife through butter, that was that description. Don't tiptoe around. So it's a case of, she's after the first, fornication. It's just like, I'm not interested in this.
I feel like I don't want to know anything else about the film. Because you've sort of teed up a...
Oh, I think you'd find it very, very, very interesting. I think it's a real... I think people who don't get on with it, and this is once again very general, no spoilers... It's one of those things where it seems that if you want to come up with anything original in cinema, it's got to be a genre mashup, hasn't it? It's got to be different genre styles mashed together. And I would say when it moves in between genres, like romantic comedy, awkward humor, psychological thriller, the gears stick a bit. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, that's why Edgar Wright is so popular, isn't it? That he can... he's very good at balancing all those different genre tones and styles, but I wouldn't say it's always that slick cat person in doing it. Also, the other thing that's very, very good, very relatable, is they have long periods where they don't see each other, but they date via text message, and that's very relatable.
Did it win awards, Cat Person?
It was nominated for awards. In actual fact, there's one. Yeah, it was nominated for Sundance Awards. I don't think it actually won any, but it got very strong reviews out there, 100%. But definitely worth looking at. I think what was refreshing is that I thought it was going to be, and there's nothing wrong with a feminist message, it's fine, do you know what I mean? But I thought it was going to be very much from that feminist point of view, but it criticizes also her best friend, who's hyper-feminist, and is so hyper-feminist, it's almost toxic. And you do see it from different points of view. There's a great opening quote by Margaret Atwood, the author, at the beginning. It says, men worry about being laughed at by women. And then it says, what is it? Women worry about being killed by men. So I know it's quite intense, but yeah, it's food for thought. I would say, though, the only problem I'd say with it is the blur of genders doesn't always keep it stable and rooted in
genres.
What did I just say?
Genders.
The blind gen. Blimey, flipping heck. I'm looking at a poster of it now and they're kissing. I think that's probably why I suddenly thought of that now. Of Cat Person, that is. The blend of genders. But yes, it was. Blend of gender, absolutely. We are in
the. Brenda Blethyn.
Brenda Blethyn, absolutely. Brenda gender. You are quite right.
Yeah. Okay, so that sounds great. That sounds very. I'm up for having a watch a Cat Person. As we got a sort of push on with this week's random movie generator, when we did 12 minutes on Wendy's, so that was my fault.
Not at all, sir. Not at all.
Well, let's guess how many choc ices out of five David's going to give Cat Person. This is an interesting one. I think it was a pretty positive review, but he did say it's that genre thing. Said, is it the gears are sticking? Okay, I'm going to have my little guess. I'm going to have to write it on my hand. I'm going to go for this.
It's definitely very new and inventive. It's certainly worth checking out.
Okay, so if everyone has a little guess, people are going for it in the YouTube. Thanks, everyone, for joining us live this Saturday morning. Okay. Right, here we go. Some people agreeing with me, some people not. Here we go. David, how many choc ices out of five are you going to give Cat Person?
3.5.
Boo!
Wow. Am I always 3.5? Yes. I'm trying to think.
No, I just thought you liked it. Not quite enough to go four. Four's a biggie for you. If you give something a four, but you thought there was enough going on not to give it a three, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a spot on observation. Yeah, I think that's completely right. It's a case of
loads of people have gone for 3.5 in the YouTube comments. Most people.
Some people probably get more out of it than me. It had that second act problem as well that we've always spoken about, where it just sort of lulls during the second act. It was frustrating that I can't even put my finger on what it was. But it seems to be, when you're watching films, it seems to be almost like, it's like I think you've said about conversations. When you're talking to someone, you're always thinking of the next thing you're going to say or whatever. And it didn't have that kind of hanging question mark for some of it. It was always very present in the moment. And there was no like, oh, what's going to happen now? What's this? What's that? It does have that later on. But certainly, it's very dialogue heavy in some of the dates and things in that vein. It wasn't a mass. I think some people would be fine with that. I think I've just got cinematic ADHD.
You like your explosions.
I like my explosions. I like men with muscles. Simple as that.
Can you sing that song that you wrote in the 90s called Explosions?
Absolutely. Explosion. 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 Feedback. simple as that. It wasn't a hit, it was on a B-side.
Egg, 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 egg. Explosion.
It had legs. People just went in it. I was before my time.
See that coming. So, egg, 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 egg. Explosion. I like that, David. Yeah. Thank you so much, David, for this week's new movie review.
Oh, thanks for your time. Thanks for listening.
David Edwards Movie News.
Right, so movie news. Let's have a quickie. Any movie news this week, David?
One thing, Michael Cera, do you remember him? He had a small part in Barbie and Arrested Development. He's very much on the comeback in a big, big way.
And where's he been then?
He really turned his back on the industry and he focused more on theatre. And a lot of people said that he stepped out because he found the celebrity lifestyle too toxic, and Jesse Eisenberg kind of slipped into his sort of nerdy geek role.
Because I see them as the same person. I forgot.
Yes, absolutely. And if you look at the early 2000s, Michael Cera was very much taking all those big roles, and then he took a sidestep out of it, and Jesse Eisenberg very much swung in. But he's did very well in the Barbie movie. Even though it was a small role, he was very much... They said how TikTok, he became a meme because he was Ken's best friend. And that's really boosted his kind of... even though he's not in the film that much, he was part of the whole kind of meme promotion to it. So now he's got two big roles. He's going to have a very juicy role in the new Wes Anderson movie. Very significant role in that. And also... Jesse Armstrong has got a film that he's written, and Jesse Armstrong obviously from Peep Show but also Succession, so it's going to be his next project after Succession, and Michael Cera is starring in that. So he's got two very kind of large films, and I think also this article is very much looking at the power of social media. Do you know what I mean? You've got like a small role in the film, but on the meme front your face is everywhere. And Jesse Armstrong film, it was going through financial issues, even though he's the showrunner for Succession. But after Barbie, there was just no issue at all. Michael Cera was immediately put into the starring role, and the whole thing was financed.
Right. Okay. Any other news this week?
Any other news I would say is the actor strike is still going on, and they're worried that...
Oh, I thought it finished. Oh, is that the writers?
The writers. I hope I've got that right. Yeah, the actor strike is still going on. And they're becoming increasingly paranoid that if the next meeting doesn't happen and is not fruitful, it could go on for an even longer period and it could start disrupting the Oscars in some way. So that's like a big conversation point at the moment. I think that's a bit melodramatic. I think sometimes they're just trying to create news for the sake of it, because I think the Oscars isn't until March.
Do we try and create movie news for the sake of it?
I hope not.
We like to bring a little bit of spice.
Oh, God, you need to have a little bit of kind of like, you know...
Egg, 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 explosion.
You've got to have a little... I'm trying to think what the word is, definitely. You've got to...
Je ne sais quoi?
Je ne sais quoi, a little bit of spice. A dollop of jam on top of the porridge.
Yeah.
That's not sexy, is it? Spicy jam, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so Michael Cera and the actors. Anything else? Any little dollop of news that you heard? Any other news?
A massive dollop of news, I'd say, is that Barbara Broccoli was interviewed recently about James Bond, and it's going to be a massive long period between now and the next Bond film. And also, she says, because budgets are so high...
What does massive long...
I think it's going to be something...
years and years?
Oh, not years and years. I think it's going to be something like... so we're in 23 now, 26, 27, something like that. It's going to be a long, long period. And also, she said that James Bond ideally used to be every year at the most 2 years, but she can't imagine that now because the budgets are so big for cinema outings that it could be sometimes 3 or 4 years between Bond films.
Do you know what I just thought then? I miss Daniel Craig.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, you know, I remember when he first turned up on that speedboat when they introduced him as Bond. I was like, that's not James Bond, for crying out loud. And to look at him, you wouldn't think for a second he's Bond. But, I mean, he just his physicality and his body language, I think it's going to be really tricky to work
following him.
Yeah, massive, almost undoable. I think she's putting the pause button on. Because she's almost waiting for a new trend to appear. Because I don't think we've really left that Daniel Craig era. What would the new Bond be? Would they just go very camp and cheap?
Really tall and sinewy.
Like
6'6".
6'6" type of thing. It sounds like a basketball player kind of.
I don't know, it's just different, isn't it?
Yeah, he's different. No, you're quite right, 100%.
Yeah, basketball player.
Basketball player sort of thing. Absolutely help him in action. Definitely if he needs to sort of get a rifle off a large shelf or something, high shelf on. Absolutely, definitely. Or just, to grab a man from behind if you've got height on you. Not that I've used my height for that reason.
Do you remember The Game of Death, Bruce Lee?
Oh, gosh, yes. The character in
that. So
that
sort of, the guy.
Yeah, the basketball player in that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Massive long arms.
Thank you, David, for this week's movie news.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
David Edwards' movie review.
Okay, so it's the biggie. It's movie review. It's the randomly generated movie that Thomas generated. Oh, Mandy!
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good.
Did you have a nice time in Ibiza?
Oh, yeah. Look at this.
Oh, you're very tan.
Yes, look.
Show no white bits.
Dear me. Goodness me. Quite horrific. Don't show you white bits. Thank God it's a podcast.
I beg your pardon.
I'm just saying cover up. Put a tea towel over or something. You know, you've got handles. You could put a tea towel over your handles. And then...
Handles?
She's got handles.
No.
Well, she's got love handles.
Oh, no, not love handles. I mean like bits of metal handles, you know. So I'm envisioning an oven, but she's more of like a large box.
Well, I think your white bits are lovely.
Thank you, David.
I think absolutely that they're lovely, but you just don't need to show them off. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I
like
want
to be warned before someone shows me their white bits. Are you okay with this, David? Yes, I am. We're all human. Reveal them
well,
now.
No, this is true.
We're living in a crazy world with robots, aren't we? It's just like, what is human now? It's like a Blade Runner conundrum in my head.
Jonathan Beals just said on YouTube, "Hey, Mandy." Just don't put a little waving hand.
She doesn't need any more admirers. She's got more than enough. She's got a big enough metal head as it is.
Get stuffed.
She just said get stuffed.
There you go. Very toxic. Yeah. I like her sass, though. I always like her
Martin
sass.
Martin Gardner says jealousy is a horrible trait, David.
It is. And it's going through my veins right now, and it's just it's exhausting. It's like carrying around a massive boulder everywhere.
Okay, David. So the movie we generated last week was Lolita?
It was, indeed.
Kubrick?
Absolutely, sir.
You've never seen it before. I haven't seen it.
No, absolutely brand new.
How did you feel, genuinely, picking that movie and sitting down to watch it?
Yeah, excited because I've never seen Lolita. And also it's Peter Sellers. And, I was very...
Is it in the 60s? Was it made it in
very,
the 60s?
Yeah, early 60s, 100%.
Early 60s, okay.
Early 60s. And so I'll get some of the facts up here so we're completely clear on what we're looking at type of thing. So, yeah, early 60s, and he'd just done, it's 1962, also stars James Mason as the main character, the teacher who falls for Lolita, and Lolita's mother.
Sorry, the teacher that falls for Lolita.
Yes, yeah, college lecturer, sort of, Lolita. And Shelley Winters, who is Lolita's mother. Because basically, he's writing a book, I believe, and he's touring America. And cause he's British. He's a college professor. And he's renting a room from Shelley Winters. And Shelley Winters, she's lonely. Her husband's passed away. And she immediately likes the look of James Mason and just over the top is flirting with him. But he's not interested in her, a woman of his own middle-aged demographic. He's more interested in her 14-year-old daughter type of...
14?
Yeah, she's 12 in the book and she's 14 in the film. And I was a bit shocked.
Yeah. Do you know, I don't know anything about this movie or story. Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Yes, so it's very... The film, the book was banned in certain parts of the world, not in America, but some worlds.
I didn't know anything about this. Shite.
And,
Scheitenhausen.
It really was Kubrick going against the grain and trying to come up with something, you know, quite fresh and new. I basically thought, in my naivety, that it was like American Beauty, in the sense that, you know, with American Beauty, he goes through a midlife crisis and he starts lusting over his daughter's best friend at high school. And she's like sort of 15, 16, still an appropriate type of thing. But nothing actually happens. But
is she 15, 16 in American Beauty?
I think so. I think she's like at the end of high school, isn't she? She's not 14. I think she's 15, 16, something in that kind of age. Still below, you know, consent, but...
Fucking hell. I had no idea. This has absolutely blown my...
It did for me, because...
Did you know what you were going into?
Not to this extent. And I found it quite uncomfortable, because it's quite broad humour at times, but with a very dark underbelly. And it's,
is that purposefully broad to make it...
Yes, 100% to put sugar on the pill. And I think it's a case of in the 60s, it was all a bit, you know, a bit broader, a bit kind of lewd.
Oh, sorry, you know. I thought it was to make it more awkward.
No, I think it was more to kind of like laugh at the absurdity of the characters type of thing. And... because if you played it as like a straight drama, it'd just be an absolute horror. Because the other thing that's shocking is that they allude to the idea that they do actually have sexual consent. You know, not consent, so they have a sexual relationship. So, yeah, it's just like, but in between that, you've got knockabout Peter Sellers gags. So it is a bizarre cocktail. And unlike 2001, unfortunately, this one has dated, I would say.
Really?
I would say it's quite uncomfortable, because it's like...
yeah. But how was it received back then, do you know?
How it was received, I think it got like a... it basically was, like a lot of Kubrick films, totally Marmite. Other people found it cutting edge, new, fresh. Other people totally turned their back on it and wouldn't even review it, like the actual book itself. So it's like Clockwork Orange, and like even The Shining, when it first came out, a lot of people were negative. I think most Kubrick films have had that reaction. I remember Kubrick saying in an interview that his worst reaction to a film was Barry Lyndon, because there was no conversation about it. It just popped up, people shrugged their shoulders, and it disappeared. But I think all his films have been Marmite. You either love it or you hate it.
Right.
And Lolita, definitely, it's just like, you know, very confused message. You know, it's a case of the underlying narrative is paedophilia, really. But then you've got knockabout comedy in between it.
What was Kubrick get? What was his angle? I don't understand what his angle was.
I think it was the case of... thing is, he's always had an interest in... the inner battle of sexuality. Because, I mean, what was interesting is watching that, and then his last film, Eyes Wide Shut, which was about a married couple going off into New York one night and experimenting with their sexuality, going to orgies and things in that vein. And so you've got that aspect. The other element is sort of a forbidden lust, this element of... you know, this is going to destroy you, but you're still, you know, tantalized by it, like some form of addiction. And he also liked the idea that even when James Mason sees her as an older woman, he's still in love with her in a bizarre way. He's talked about that. He's referenced that. So it wasn't just her as a young girl. It's very confused. The other thing Kubrick desperately wanted to do was he wanted to make a big budget porn movie where it was lit like a Hollywood film. And the only reason he didn't do that, so a very good narrative, very strong narrative, but the sex was literally like a porn film. And the only reason he didn't do that is because his wife said, I will leave you if you do that, because it would just be absolutely humiliating. So he's always had a penchant for I guess he's thinking that's the ultimate psyche, isn't it? Sexuality. You're not in control of it. It's the subconscious, you know, really drill it. And also he's very nihilistic. He looks at the dark energy of human civilization, doesn't he, always?
Can I lighten this section up a bit?
Please do, because it's very dark at the moment. I'm not...
Explosion.
Have some of that.
I just felt like I needed to...
Oh, yeah, it's got to be done, because it is darkness.
And what character does Peter Sellers play, then?
Peter Sellers plays a very bizarre character. You can see it as a precursor to Doctor Strange, love, in the element that... he's also got a fascination with Lolita. I don't think he's as dark as James Mason's. And he's a famous playwright, but he's so eccentric, he keeps just doing bizarre voices all the time. So he, like, says to James Mason, like, you remind me of a British butler that speaks a bit like this. But you're in America now, so you want to get your guns out and be a gunslinger. So he just sort of goes in between. He's like an eccentric writer type of element. And a lot of
someone's just asked in the comment box, could you say penchant again?
Penchant. Absolutely. That would be a good name for a burger or something. One penchant, please. A penchant. A double penchant. A penchant tower. Merci.
Okay, David. Well, I mean, we got a crack on. Let's guess. Is there anything else you want to say about... Oh, actually, let's listen to a clip from Lolita.
Please do. Please do.
Why were you so late coming home from school yesterday afternoon?
Yesterday. What was yesterday?
Yesterday was Thursday.
Oh, well, was I late?
Yes, you were. You finished school at 3 o'clock. You were not home until 6 o'clock.
That's right. Michelle and I stayed to watch football practice.
In the Frigid Queen.
What do you mean, in the Frigid Queen?
I was driving around and I thought I saw you through the window.
Oh! Yeah, well, we stopped there for a malt afterwards. What difference does it make?
You were sitting at a table with two boys.
Yeah, well, Roy and Rex just happened to sit down with us.
Roy and Rex?
The co-captains of the football team.
I thought we understood no dates.
What do you mean, no dates? They just sat down at our table.
I don't want you around them. They're nasty-minded boys.
Oh, you're a fine one to talk about someone else's mind.
Don't avoid the issue. I told you, no dates.
It wasn't a date.
It was a date.
It wasn't a date.
It was a date, Lolita.
It was not a date.
It was a date.
It wasn't a date.
Well, whatever it was that you had yesterday afternoon, I don't want you to have it again. And while we're on the subject, how did you come to be so late on Saturday afternoon?
Saturday, I went to my piano lesson.
Your piano lesson? I thought that was on Wednesday.
No, it was changed to Saturday, remember? Between 2 and 4, Miss Starch piano. Well, ask Michelle. She was with me.
Ask Michelle. That's what you always say to me. Well, now, for a change, I'm going to ask you something about Michelle.
You can't have her. She belongs to a Marine.
I will ignore that idiotic joke. Why does she give me these searching looks whenever she comes to the house?
How should I know?
Have you told her anything about us?
No. Have you?
You've told her nothing.
You think I'm crazy?
You spend too much time with that girl. I don't want you to see her so often.
Oh, come on. She's the only friend I've got in this stinking world. You never let me have any fun.
No fun? You have all the fun in the world. We have fun together, don't we? Whenever you want something, I buy it for you automatically. I take you to concerts, to museums, to movies. I do all the housework. Who does the tidying up? I do. Who does the cooking? I do. You and I, we have lots of fun. Don't we, Lolita?
How many sittings? No, do I want to know the sittings? Because I don't know where you're going to go with this. Maybe I don't want to know the sittings, actually. Can we hold back on the sittings? If you don't mind, David.
No, oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Are you a fan of Kubrick?
Yes, I do like Kubrick. Got a lot of time for it. Sometimes it's almost as though it's like Tarantino. You're more interested in the man than the actual films. Don't get me wrong, I like the films. Goes without saying. Clockwork Orange really unique and stuff like that, and The Shining and all that. But it's like Tarantino. It's almost like I probably enjoy just sitting watching him interviewed as much, maybe sometimes more than the actual movies. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just, Kubrick didn't do any interviews after a while, but a documentary about him would be fascinating.
Where did Kubrick live? Do you know?
New York, but then moved to London, didn't he? The outskirts, the rural outskirts of London, because he didn't like flying, so he'd make all his films in Britain. So he emigrated over here at some point, but then never wanted to get back on a plane. Absolutely. John Ronson did a fascinating documentary on Kubrick, and yes, and John Ronson was able to go through Kubrick's archives, and it said the Kubrick's boxes. It's really, it was on YouTube, but it's gone now, but it's a really good documentary, because Kubrick would like archive all his research obsessively. So you've got things like loads of files and documents about his Auschwitz drama that he never filmed because Spielberg got in early before him, Schindler's List. But then also you've got lots of diagrams of a cat collar he designed. So, because he was paranoid that the cats would get their collar stuck in branches from the trees in his manor. So he created a cat collar that had string attached to it that would easily break. And he created a diagram for it.
Okay.
I don't know where I'm going with that. That's
no, not so, no, it's fine.
I had a mini,
I don't know where he was going with it, to be honest. Well, David, it's now time to review Kubrick's Lolita. If everyone's putting their guesstimates in the... what are they going for? Oh, it's quite varied. It's
oh, that's
quite,
interesting.
This is interesting. This is interesting. I'm going to go... so how many choc ices out of five are you going to give it? Okay, so David, how many choc ices out of five are you going to give Stanley Kubrick's Lolita?
Two.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was confusing. I think once they actually... It wasn't American Beauty, wasn't lusting from afar. And, well, even before that, it's just, yeah. The comedy's too broad, it's confused, and it maybe feel a bit icky type of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, Peter Sellers rambling on kind of... And also, it's a case of the comedy's almost there to manipulate you to get this kind of like... bizarre drama kind of under the radar. And also a lot of the time the characters all feel like they're in different films. The humor's so kind of out there. I mean, what is impressive is that, you know, Kubrick was always trying to do something new and interesting, but I just thought, no, at the end of the day, you know, this is very dark, you know. And you're
Guy Anderson says an icky watch. John Bone says to your two, what the actual fuck? So what, I don't know what, yeah, what do you think, John?
Please do say, John, please do shut say. Is he adding anything? That is interesting. Because, I mean, they, you know, he has like, he's actually having a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old. And then you've got kind of like awkward broad humour in between the bits and pieces. Also, when Shelley Winters is taken out the drama, I'm not going to do any spoilers or whatever, it definitely loses the plot dynamics, because there's always that element of, is she going to work out that really he's just after the daughter? So when Shelley Winters is no longer in it, I won't say what happens to her, but it's a case of that dynamic is just, you know, loses its dynamo at that point. You know, it's plot propulsion. Do you know what I mean? If that's a word.
Propulsion?
Propulsion, or what's the word if you're in a car?
Propulsion.
Propulsion.
Plot.
Propulsion, absolutely.
John Bone says, I'm a sold three, but I thought David was more of a Kubrick disciple.
Well, I did as well. So I was in inner dialogue about it, thinking, am I being too critical here? But I was just like, no, it's not.
Good point by Guy Anderson here, David.
Oh, yes.
Taxi Driver isn't that dissimilar, and that's still lauded.
But he's like a saviour, doesn't he? He doesn't try to sleep with Jodie Foster. He wants to save her.
Undertone? I can't remember.
It's more a Sybil Shepherd that he takes to the cinema. He wants a relationship with. He more wants to save her as a father figure, I'd say. Do you know what I mean? That's what I would personally say. It's Cybill Shepherd that he turns up to, you know, walking through the streets of New York in slow-mo in his sort of cord red blazer.
Okay. So thank you very much, David, for this week's movie review. I very much enjoyed that. And thank you for everyone for contributing.
Thank you, sir.
David Edwards Movie Tips.
Okay, some movie tips. Got any movie tips?
Movie tips. We're talking about James Bond earlier. This is one for real nerds. But every now and then, you get unproduced scripts that leak onto the internet. And they really are fascinating. You can come across them, and a lot of film blogs review them when they appear. And this is for proper James Bond nerds. And it was, they've managed to leak from the Broccoli Offices Eon. If you write into Google first draft of Bond 17, it's the script for the third Timothy Dalton film that was never actually made because there was legal issues over distributing Bond, and they went for about 5 years of not being able to produce a Bond, and that's when Timothy Dalton didn't come back, and instead they got Pierce Brosnan. And the idea for it is quite crazy. It's almost a bit like Moonraker. Like, you could tell that Eon didn't know what to do with Dalton at that point, because each of the Dalton films were very different in tone, and this one's almost got an AI Terminator vibe. James Bond will be taking on robots. So it's almost got that Moonraker-esque sci-fi feel. But with License to Kill, they tried to make it grittier and more intense. And you could tell they were trying to go back into a different direction. But it's just a fascinating read. Michael G. Wilson wrote it, who now produces the Bonds with Barbara Broccoli, who was Cubby Broccoli's stepson. And it's just interesting seeing a whole draft of potential Bond film.
I just found it here, David.
Yeah, it's really, it's really interesting.
This one's got notes written on it.
Yes, it has. Yeah, it's really interesting. There's some great unproduced scripts out there. There's a lot of Indiana Jones scripts that were never made that are really
What? Sorry, they're written to be made, or they're just
they were never. No. Unproduced. Chris Columbus wrote one, who wrote Gremlins and directed Home Alone. I think it's called The Monkey King. That's interesting. It's got a great opening on a steamboat with crocodiles. And there's lots of other unproduced bits and pieces. I'm trying to think other ones.
Oh, I just think about all that work that's been put into.
Oh, massive. I mean, like Frank Dabon. Oh, I'm not pronouncing his name correctly.
Dabby Dozy.
I wish he wasn't. I could go with that. Dabon, the guy who directed Shawshank Redemption and Green Mile, he put all his directing on hold and wrote an Indiana Jones script for a whole year. Spielberg loved it. Lucas gave one look to it and said, nope, not doing that. And as you say, it was like,
sorry, though, I missed that because I was Googling Frank Darabont. Could you tell me again? Because it sounded interesting. Sorry.
Oh, no, absolutely. Not a problem, sir. Yeah, it was a case of he was a big director at that point, and he put all his directorial projects on hold and spent a whole year writing a Indiana Jones script. And Spielberg absolutely loved it. And so did Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy, the producers. But Lucas gave it one look and in one setting said, no, we're not doing that. It just didn't. Frank. How do you pronounce it? Darabont.
I've got a penchant for Darabont.
Absolutely, penchant for Darabont. He didn't even give valid reasons. It just didn't tick his box. You know, it just wasn't in keeping with what he wanted.
David. I didn't realise Frank Darabont created The Walking Dead.
Oh, he didn't create The Walking Dead, but he was the showrunner for the first series. It was based on a comic book, but then he had creative differences.
He said the writer, creator.
Yeah, he'd been creator of the TV format, but not the actual TV series. And also there was creative differences, and he left after season one, so he didn't stick around, unfortunately.
He's written loads of Adventures of Young Indiana Jones.
Yes, he did. So that was his link to Lucasfilms. That's what got him in there. But they weren't great, those young Indiana Joneses. I remember being very disappointed as a kid. I remember seeing that previewed on The Big Breakfast being, you know, explosion once again, and then you watch them, they're more like a sort of poorly lit TV drama history lesson than a rip-roaring action adventure.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's movie tips.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you.
David Edwards, Random Movie Generator.
Okay, so this is my favourite part of the pod. This is where Mandy and... will you stop showing me your phone?
This is God almighty, I don't want to see that.
Leave her alone,
leave me alone.
It's just... that phone's going to snap and it's going to go into someone's eye.
What's it got to do with you?
You know, it's been
she's
scratched.
She's got white bits and she wants to show them.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, not everyone wants to see them. It's, you know, it's
well, David Earl does.
She turned her back to me to show
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
I can see it as well. I can see it through the reflection of a framed picture in the background.
I don't want you to see my white bits.
Well, she doesn't know what reflection you can see.
Exactly. I don't know what you can see. Let me be me.
She's being too much her, though, isn't she? She's, you know, after a while, it's just like...
She's excited about getting married.
I thought she was married, didn't she? Got on her honeymoon.
I'm married,
didn't I? I know what you mean. Sorry, it's like for me to... maybe she wanted a honeymoon beforehand.
DJ Swan says, give her a break, David, for Pete's sake.
I've given her too many breaks, friend. Too many breaks.
Okay, well, let's find a movie for you, David.
Please.
Let's get a goodie.
Please.
Here we go. So, let us find the genre of the first movie that you might be reviewing next week. Here we go. Think about it and tell me when. Tell Mandy when to stop. Stop.
Stop.
Mystery.
Lovely. Okay.
And the decade of that movie, please, David.
Stop.
1980s.
Ooh.
Please generate, Mandy, 4 mystery movies from the 1980s. She has done. There are 4 movies in her belly. She's spinning them around. It's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Blowout.
Oh, my God, that's a John Travolta Brian De Palma film.
Yeah.
When he plays the sound technician. That would be really interesting.
Okay.
Tarantino loves that film. I think that's one of his favourites. I think it's his top 10.
Really?
Yeah. Massively
I like
so.
It when you sound excited.
No, I've never seen that. I'd be very interested
You've
in that.
You've never seen it?
No. It's supposed to be very good. Very good.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay, let's find the genre of the second movie that you might be reviewing next week. Please tell Mandy when you're ready, David, when to stop.
Stop.
Horror.
Okay.
We don't have many horrors, do we?
No, we don't. We've had lots of westerns, but not many horrors. I don't think we've had one horror.
Okay,
we had a werewolf film, didn't we, by Joe Dante.
American Werewolf, didn't we? Okay.
Yes. Or the Howling we had, didn't we?
Let's choose the decade of this horror movie.
Stop.
2020s.
Ooh.
Mandy, please generate 4 horror movies from the 2020s. She has done. They're in her belly. They're spinning around. And now it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning.
Stop.
The Dark and the Wicked.
God, that sounds dreadful.
Dark and Interesting, isn't it? Just a title.
It's just like, well, it's all about branding and marketing. I've not heard of that.
The Dark and the Wicked. Okay, let's choose the genre of the third movie that you might be reviewing next week. Over to you, David. When you're ready, please tell Mandy.
Stop.
Comedy.
Okay, that's fine.
And now the decade.
Stop.
2020s.
Lovely, 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 lovely.
Now we generate four movies, comedy movies from the 2020s. They're in Mandy's belly. She's spinning them around, and now it's down to you, David, to tell her when to stop spinning, please.
Stop.
Hotel Transylvania.
Oh my God, almighty. Flippity.
Do you know what? My boys loved that.
I know, it's very popular. I know.
Or they did, anyway. They sort of moved on from it.
Oh, my Lord.
No.
It's very popular. Oh, my There's more than one.
Okay, David. So, we've got Blowout, The Dark and the Wicked, Hotel Transylvania, Transformania. Do you know what? I've watched a bit of that. It's quite good. I mean, I don't know if I could sit through an hour and a half, but...
God, we'll soon find out.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
No, this is true. This is very true.
And one of those movies you really want to see.
Absolutely. So,
let's see how lucky you are. You're feeling this morning. Here we go. Okay. I've given each movie the letters A, B, and C. I've jumbled them around, or have I? And it's down to you, David, now to tell Mandy. No, and it's down to you, David, to tell man. And it's down to you, David, to tell us which movie you're going to be reviewing next week. Is it going to be A, B, or C?
B.
Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, my Lord. Deary me. 2020 comedy. You would have thought there'd be something else out there. What were the other comedies on there?
It was a bit of a crap selection.
It does do that every now and then, doesn't it? It's just like...
Hotel Transylvania, Transformania, Zombies.
Oh, God.
Bad Trip.
Right. Bad Trip's supposed to be okay. It's like a prank movie, isn't it? On the general
public. Once Upon a Time, a Snowman.
Oh, my God. I prefer Transylvania than Once Upon a Time.
Do you know what? I quite like that snowman in Frozen. That might be quite funny.
Oh, is that? Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that wouldn't be terrible.
I would say you've got the fiddliest one there.
Yeah, unfortunately so. It's Adam Sandler, isn't it, who does the voice? I could be wrong about that. No, Transylvania.
Oh, is it?
I could be wrong about that.
Andy Samberg.
Oh, Andy Samberg, goodness me.
I don't think it's that. Listen, it's not what you want to be watching. There's enough little moments in it. I thought, oh, this is fun.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I never know. It's like Lolita. I galloped towards that and I was mentally scarred afterwards. You never know what you're going to get, do you?
I've just suddenly come up with an idea.
Oh, yeah.
We've never done this before, David. We are... if you're up for it, I'm going to hold something in my hand. You choose the right hand. You get a chance to gamble and go for four horror movies because it's Halloween.
I don't know if I better watch them in time. That's the only thing.
You don't have to watch it. Just watch it in the next week. So instead of Hotel Transylvania, you get a chance to put that to one side and gamble on watching one of four horror movies.
I thought we meant four horror films.
No, sorry. Would you like to throw it?
Let's gamble. Let's absolutely gamble, Captain.
This is huge. If you guess this right, we're going to randomly choose four horror movies. You choose the decade.
Absolutely. Totally. Okay. Let's go for it.
Okay, here we go. There's a part of a brick I've got in my left hand. I'm going to put it in my hand, under the table. You choose the right hand. You get to choose a horror movie for Halloween. Which hand? That one? The bracelet? Or the other one?
The bracelet.
Bang. Oh, we're going for the horror movies. We're going...
Wow. Excellent stuff.
We're going for the horror movies. We're going for the horror movies. This is lovely. Right, okay. You can choose the decade. Which decade?
I can choose a decade.
Yes, you can. It's Halloween.
God, well, I'd like something sort of modern and up-to-date, definitely. So, 2020s, yeah, I don't know, because that last
might
one...
be risky.
2020s, let's go for horror film 2020s. Yep.
2020s, okay. Okay. 2020s, going for horror movie, 2020s. Please, Mandy, we've never done this before, but it's a Halloween special. Please, Mandy, generate four horror movies for the 2020s. Okay, here's four horror movies from the 2020s. She's going to spin them in her belly. This is Halloween special. It's over to you, David. Tell Mandy when to stop. Here we go.
How are they looking? Are they... Okay, sorry, I'm getting too into this. Anyway. Stop.
The movie you will be reviewing next week is... Spiral, from the Book of Saw.
Is that the one starring Chris Rock?
Yes, and Samuel L. Jackson.
Right, I'll be looking forward to that. Samuel L. Jackson's in it.
Yeah, Max Minghella.
Right, okay, yeah, I'll give... that's almost got like a slightly Seven vibe to it, isn't it? They're cops,
looks
I believe.
Like it, looks like it from the poster.
Oh, God, that's a massive change from Hotel Transylvania. But I mean, don't
Spiral
get me,
from the Book of Saw.
But don't get me wrong, yeah, I'm always happy to watch whatever is given to me type of thing.
Yeah, Dutch Gregor said I would have gone 90s or 2000s. I would have as well. I would have. But there you go. There's your Halloween special.
That is a massive... foot in the right direction, massively, yeah. Massively,
and it just gave the episode a little bit of
a bit of drama,
spicy jam,
a bit
spicy
of jam. Like on the edgeness, and a bit of an explosion.
Yeah, explosion. David, thank you so much. I know you got a shoot off. Thank you everyone for watching us live this morning. Martin Gardner. Oh god. Two people said, I think you're going to prefer Hotel Transylvania.
Oh my gosh.
But we don't know. Oh dear, that backfired, says Jez.
Oh okay. Dear.
Okay, thank you so much, David. Have a lovely day today.
You have an absolutely superb day, sir, and I look forward to reporting back on the Chris Rock experience. It's very bizarre, isn't it? Stand-up comedian doing a horror film like that. It's a bit of an... I didn't know Samuel L. Jackson was in it. I think whatever, it will be an interesting view. 100%.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. And I might try and edit this now and put it on Patreon for everyone. So,
oh, wow.
Anyway. Yeah. Always working. Cheers, David. Have a lovely weekend.
You too. Take care of yourself, Captain.
Bye-bye.
Cyril salute. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And he's showing us a white bits.